Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We from Srimad Bhagavatam, Ganapan, chapter 6, verse 13. Asanu Gansu Pangayati, Aho, Uvam, Sapta, Samudravatya, Vipeshu, Varsheshu, Adipunyam, Adipunyata, Gayanti, Yatratya, Anjana, Murari, Karmani, Bhadrani, Avataravanti, Aho Bhuva Sapta Samudravatya,
Aho Bhuva Sapta
Samudravatya, Vipeshu Varshesh Adipunyameta,
Vipeshu Varshesh
Gayanti Yatratya Janamurare
Gayanti Yatratya Janamurare
Karmani Bhadrani Avatara Vanti
Karmani Bhadrani Avatara Vanti ಅಹೋಭವಸಪ್ತಸಮುದ್ರವತ್ಯಾ
ವರ್ಷೇಷು ಪುಣ್ಯಂ
ಚತದ್ವೀಪೇಷು ವರ್ಷೇಶ್ವರ ಪುಣ್ಯಮೇತ
ಗಾಯಂತಿ ಯತ್ರತ್ಯ ಜನಾಂ ಪುರಾರೇ
ಗಾಯಂತಿ ಯತ್ರತ್ಯ ಜನಾಂ ಪುರಾರೇ
ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಭದ್ರಾಣಿ ಅವತಾರಂತಿ
ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಭದ್ರಾಣಿ ಅವತಾರಂತಿ
ಅಹೋಭವಸಪ್ತಸಮುದ್ರವತ್ಯಾ
ದ್ವೀಪೇಷು
ವರ್ಷೇಷು ಪುಣ್ಯಂ ಚ
ಗಾಯಂತಿ
ಯತ್ರತ್ಯ ಜನಾಂ ಪುರಾರೇ
ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ
ಭದ್ರಾಣಿ ಅವತಾರವಂತಿ
ಅಹೋಭವಸಪ್ತಸಮುದ್ರವತ್ಯಾ
ದ್ವೀಪೇಷು ವರ್ಷೇಷು ಪುಣ್ಯಂ ಚ ಗಾಯಂತಿ ಯತ್ರತ್ಯ ಜನಾಂ ಪುರಾರೇ
conforming to the instructions of liberation, slokan, verses, and gayanti, chant, of this earthly planet, sapta samudra vatya, possessing seven seas, vipeksha. Among the islands, among the land,
Adipunyam,
more pious,
this
Gayanti,
sing about.
Yatra Tajana, people of this tract of land,
Murari,
Abmurari,
Karmani,
activities,
Badrani,
all auspicious,
Avataravanti,
in many incarnations. Such as Lord Rishabhadeva. Translation learned scholars chant about the transcendental qualities worshipped Deva in this way. Oh, this earthly planet contains seven seas and many islands and lands, of which Varsha is considered the most highest. People of Varsha are accustomed to glorifying the activities of the Supreme Personality of God in his incarnation as Lord Rishabhadeva and others. All these activities are very auspicious for the welfare of humanity. Wherefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Bharata Bhumite Koyo Jamusha Jamadar Janma Sata Kori Para Para Upakar. As stated in this verse, Bharata is the most highest land. The followers of Vedic literature understand the Supreme Personality of God in his different incarnations, and they are privileged to glorify the Lord by following the directions of Vedic literature. After realizing the glories of human life, such people should take up the mission to spread the importance of human life throughout the whole world. This is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The word Adipunya indicates that there are certainly many other pious men throughout the world, but the people of Varsha are even more pious. Therefore, they are fit to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world for the benefit of all human society. Srila Madhvacharya also recognizes the land of Varsha, Vishesha, Bharate, Punyam. Throughout the world, there is no question of Bhagavad Bhakti or devotional service, but the people of Varsha can easily understand the devotional service to the Lord. Thus, every inhabitant of Varsha can perfect his life by discharging Bhagavad Bhakti and then preach his gospel throughout the world for the benefit of everyone. Text 14. Oh, what shall I say of the dynasty of Priya Vratu, which is pure and very much celebrated? In that dynasty, the Supreme Person, the original personality of God, descended as an incarnation and executed religious principles that could free one from the results of fruit of activity. There are many dynasties in human society wherein the Supreme Lord descends as an incarnation. Lord Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty, and Lord Ramachandra appeared in the Ikshvakura Raghu dynasty. Similarly, Rishabhadeva appeared in the dynasty of King Priya Vrata. All these dynasties are very famous, and of them the dynasty of Priyavrata is most famous. Next 50. Who was that mystic yogi who can follow the examples of Lord Rishabhadeva even in his mind? Lord Rishabhadeva predicted all kinds of yogic perfection, which other yogis hanker to attain. Who was that yogi who can compare to Lord Rishabhadeva? Purport, general yogi desire the yogic perfections of Anima, Lagima, Mahima, Prakamya, Prapti, Pishitala. Vasitvan Kama Vasahita. Well, Rishabhadev, however, never aspired for all these material things. Such cities are presented by the looser energy of the Lord. The real purpose of the yoga system is to achieve the favor and shelter of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this purpose is covered by the looser energy of yoga maya. So-called yogis are therefore allured by the superficial material perfections of anima, lagima, prapti, and so forth. Consequently, ordinary yogis cannot compare to Lord Rishabhadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their scholars chant about transcendental qualities of Rishabhadev in this way. Oh, this earthly planet contains seven seas and many islands and lands of which Bharatvarsha is considered the most pious. People of Bharatvarsha are accustomed to glorifying the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Lord Rishabhadev and others. All these activities are very auspicious for the welfare of human society. Oh, what shall I say of the dynasty of Priyavrata, which is pure and very much celebrated in that dynasty? The Supreme Person, the original personality of God, had descended as an incarnation and executed religious principles that could free one from the results of religious activity. Who is that mystic yogi who can follow the examples of Lord Rishabhadev? Even in his mind, Lord Rishabhadev rejected all kinds of yogic perfection which other yogis hanker to attain. Who is that yogi who can compare to Lord Rishabhadev? So this is a series of verses to glorify Rishabhadev. We see that the first two verses actually are only introductory. And the first one is glorifying the particular place where Rishabhadev was present, that is Bharatvarsha. So this is considered a place which is most wonderful because many of the avatars appear here. So therefore, it says Avatara Bhanti. This place is very, very wonderful because of the activities of the Supreme Lord and his various avatars. The people of Bharatvarsha, they glorify these activities of the Lord. So the place is glorifying. And then in the next verse, the dynasty, that is Priyavrata's dynasty, which is ultimately the dynasty of Svayambhuva Manu, the first Manu in the day of Brahma. This dynasty is glorified. So, as I mentioned previously, Rishabhadev appeared within this dynasty in various Manus. We have dynasties. So, Manu is one, Svayambhuva Manu was one, and the present we have Vaibhas of the Manu's dynasty descending. So the various Manvantaras have different dynasties, all having Manus and their descendants ruling the earth. So Priyavrata was in that dynasty, and then Rishabhadev came from this dynasty also. So Rishabhadev is then glorified in the third verse after showing the dynasty itself is very wonderful. So how is he glorified? He's glorified by showing that he rejected everything, including the mystic cities, the yoga cities. And no one can compare to Rishabhadev. Others are bewildered by Maya, but Rishabhadev is the greatest yogi. So this indicates his example of complete detachment from everything in the material world, not only material things, such as his palace and house and family and wealth and food and clothing, etc., which he showed through becoming an avadhu, but also even the powers that he could attain through yoga, those things he also rejected. Now, of course, he is Supreme Lord, so he's only setting an example for other persons because he's beyond doing sadhana. But he is showing by this that all of these things are very dangerous for spiritual advancements.
So not only the material things, but the subtle material things like yoga powers are also dangerous for one's spiritual advancement. So therefore one has to reject these things also. So Rishabhadeva therefore set a great example of complete detachment from everything in the material world. And because he's playing the role of a human being, he also not only sets a good example for yogis, but in his instructions he also showed that the only way in which one can achieve this complete perfection of detachment is by worshipping the Supreme Lord. So therefore, though he showed a yoga process, he also instructs everyone to do the process of devotion. Now we see that the other king, Arhat, he decided to simply imitate the renunciation aspect rather than worship of the Supreme Lord. So he misunderstood those teachings. As for Rishabhadeva himself, yes, he set the example that all these material things are wrong, therefore we should renounce them. But at the same time, he recommended everyone worship the Supreme Lord to attain that ideal. So he didn't separate this type of yoga practice from bhakti at all. There, the only way one could achieve this level was through bhakti. In any case, this is example of complete detachment and yoga, etc. We cannot call that pure bhakti. So it's not an example of pure devotional service that we see in examples of persons like Rupa Goswami or others. He's not setting that type of example. He's setting another example for other persons. So this is sometimes the purpose of avatars. Narada Muni comes to present bhakti. That's his, he teaches bhakti. Others come for other purposes, like Kapila. He teaches everything. He teaches bhakti, he teaches renunciation and yoga and jnana, etc. And Dattatreya mostly teaches jnana. So various sages come and teach various types of things. Kumar is also, they teach jnana largely. So the different avatars of the Lord come in, sometimes don't teach bhakti directly. At the same time, we should understand they never reject bhakti. The Kumaras we see go into great ecstasy on smelling the tulsi leaves that touch the feet of the Lord. So they're devotees of the Lord, though they're in Shantarasa. They are devotees of the Lord. So they never reject the Supreme Lord, though they may preach jnana or yoga or whatever. So similarly with Bharat, he doesn't reject the Lord even though he's teaching his extreme renunciation, yoga practice, etc. Some of the avatars do not preach the process of pure bhakti, but they never reject the process of bhakti. So there's some bhakti in the within their process also. Though these processes are in the Vedic literature, and therefore some of the avatars teach these processes, at the same time, the simpler process is simply take to bhakti, which is what Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita. After discussing jnana and karma and yoga, he simply tells everyone to do bhakti. So this is the ultimate import of Bhagavatam also. So therefore, in spite of different avatars teaching different things, we should understand that the real teaching is that of devotion to the Supreme Lord, and particularly to Krishna. So the these teachings with jnana and yoga and whatever in them are not particularly for the persons reading Bhagavatam, but they are mentioned because the sages of Naimisharanya requested you tell us all about all the different avatars of the Lord. So therefore, Sukadeva Goswami, he begins to, and of course, in his discussion, he not only describes the avatars, but the whole history of the Manus and their descendants, etc. Everybody gets involved here. So the lines of kings are discussed, plus the avatars appearing within that history of the Manus. All of that is described. Because that was the request of the sages in Anisaranya. So Sudha Goswami has discussed, told them that based on Sukadeva Goswami's discussion. So the avatars, as I said, teach various things, so therefore that's why we'll find various teachings within the Bhagavatam, because they teach various things. But ultimately, we also have to concentrate on the process of bhakti, that is the supreme process. So, therefore, the why have these things here? One explanation is that everything ultimately emanates and displays the glory of the Supreme Lord. So, of course, the spiritual world obviously is a manifestation directly of the Lord. The material world is an indirect manifestation through property, etc. Nevertheless, it is also a Shakti of the Lord. So the Bhagavatam puts Krishna at the center as Asraya, and these other 10 topics like creation and destruction and planets of the universe, that is Stiti, one of the topics, and the good and the bad, the different impulses in the material world, Papa and Punya, etc., Manvantaras, the history of the kings, etc., all of this within the universe is discussed in relation to Supreme Lord. So ultimately we have to trace all of this back to the Supreme Lord. So you have Krishna on top and all the different expansions down to Mahavishnu, Gavadaksha Vishnu, Shridaksha Vishnu, and then the material world and Brahma, and then all the sages coming out and all the manus coming out and all this, and then the avatars appearing. So ultimately trace it back to Krishna. Behind even Mahavishnu is, of course, the expansion of the spiritual. Behind that is ultimately Krishna. So the way the Bhagavatam is structured, dealing with these different 10 topics, they're all discussed because it's a Purana, so it discusses them. But it's all related to Krishna, ultimately, as Swayam Bhagavan. So all of these avatars are simply, we can say, expansions from Krishna, and they manifest different aspects of Krishna's qualities to some degree. Whatever is in these avatars, whatever qualities and activities, Krishna can also do the same thing. But of course he can also do something more. So therefore all the different avatars discussed in the Bhagavatam are simply also manifestations of some qualities which are also in Krishna. So he is the source of everything, and then we have the different avatars manifest to display various aspects of his powers. So, one of the powers of Bhagavan is Vairagya, another is Jnana, another is Aishwarya, power to control, etc., Virya, etc. These are different aspects of Bhagavan. So in the various avatars, these things are displayed. Therefore we get Jnana displayed in terms of the Kumaras, for instance, or Dattatreya. Here we get Vairagya, complete renunciation, as also in Naranarayan, for instance. We get this renunciation aspect, complete detachment from everything in the material world. These are aspects of the Supreme Lord also. So there's no difficulty for the Lord to display these things. Of course, a great power, how the Lord is powerful, Virya, etc., fighting ability we see in Nrsimhadeva or in Varaha, for instance. Very, very powerful aspects of Virya. So, all of these are, all these avatars, we should also understand, are ultimately related to Krishna. Krishna is the Asraya, or the tenth topic of the Bhagavatam, and everything revolves around him, including creation of the material world, the descent of the Manu, the different avatars, etc. They are simply all reflections of his qualities.
Do you preach Jnana?
Jnana. Uddhava. Well, no, Krishna spoke to Uddhava in 11th canto. He teaches him Dharma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Sangha Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, also, just like in Bhagavad Gita, in more detail, actually. So in Bhagavatam, Krishna teaches, he mentions all the different cities, 18 cities you could get through yoga, etc. He has two chapters dedicated to Jnana, emerging in Brahman, etc. goes through the whole Varnashram system and all the details of the different types of persons, like the four types of sannyasis and the grihasthas and the vanaprasthas and the brahmacharis, four types of brahmacharis, all these different things. He goes into detail. And then, of course, he also describes bhakti in detail, more than in Bhagavad Gita. So he even describes the whole process. He describes the whole process of deity worship, and how you should worship the deity, offer different things to the deity, etc.
What should be the understanding when they said dynasty of Devata is most famous as compared to Krishna?
Oh, well, now this is he didn't say it's most famous, it's very much celebrated. And the Lord appears in this dynasty. So yes, he appears in this dynasty. In Swayambhuvamana, of course, a lot of the avatars appear here at that time, and many of them will appear in this dynasty. But it doesn't say the most. It just says, avadata. It's fully pure and with fame, that's all. It doesn't say it's the most famous. All these dynasties are very famous. Oh, and other than the dynasty of Priyavrat is most famous. Well, I don't know. Actually, we know that the Yadu dynasty seems to be the most famous for us. Huh? But here he doesn't say this in the text. It just says it's very famous.
Avatar Vanti, what takes in this type of Bhumi or Earth planet? Bhumi planet is many planets, of many planets. Avatar appears only in this particular Himalaya.
Most of them appear seem to appear in this place. Of course, some of them are, you cannot say where they appear, like Vamana appears in heavenly planets, doesn't exactly appear on Earth. Varaha kind of appears out of the nose of Brahma and then jumps into the Garbhadak ocean, so he doesn't actually appear on Earth either. Many of the sages, yes, like Dattatreya and Kapila, they appear within Bharatvarsha. So that is true. Many of them do. Ramchandra also. But not all, it's not restricted to Bharatvarsha itself. Most appear on Bhumandala, it appears, but then we do have exceptions like Braha or Vamana, like that. Milk Ocean appear, Purma, Hachita, that appear in the Milk Ocean. Which is kind of on the Bhumandala, but in a different place. Well, it always continues because after the end of Kali Yuga, the Satya Yuga starts again and it's all nice again. So the places never disappear, they're always there. But of course, as Kali Yuga progresses, yes, it does degrade. But it never disappears, and then again it's restored to a very sattvic condition in Satya Yuga again. And then the Manu also will be appear at that time again, or the descendants of Manu. In our bhakti process, we practice Nitya Vairagya, using everything for Krishna's service. Sometimes in this Yukta Vairagya, there may be some devotees who take advantage of Yukta Vairagya, not practice Vairagya at all, how to balance. Yes, that's possible. So the best thing to do is have a proper understanding of the process of bhakti. And try to understand where material desires are creeping in, etc., and therefore try to concentrate upon dedicating everything to the Supreme Lord rather than feeding one's material desires. So it requires some introspection on the part of the devotee. That's all. It's a rather impersonal philosophy. There's details which are different from the Vedic philosophy, etc. Probably the creation, etc., and analysis of elements is a little different. Ultimately, there is some supreme thing or something, but it's a little vague of what that is. There's a sense of liberation from material bondage, but what that is not well defined as far as I can see. Something like Ramanism is definitely not personal, it's impersonal. But it's not very well defined. They have no basis of going back, oh, the Vedanta Sutra says this, or the Upanishad says this, because they reject everything. So they have to have their own scriptures, which more or less based on intellectual philosophy, they say it may be this or that or whatever. So one enters a state of eternal something or other.
Unlike other religions, Jainism is compared only to India. We don't see
Well, there are some Jains in Japan and a few in other places. There are Jains everywhere in the world also, but you don't see them so much. But it's a small group. It's not a very big group. In some places, probably bigger, like probably Karnataka State, there's more Jains, I think, than others. And maybe Rajasthan, those places, more than others. In Bengal, you won't see any at all, I don't think, like that. So some places are concentrated, some no. It's like the Parsis also, they're very small, and like some groups are very small. Even in fact, Nimbarka Sampradaya, we don't hear about it very much among Vaishnavas. Nimbarka Sampradaya, not very big also.
We follow the Jainism just basically.
Huh?
Basically Jainism.
Jains, yeah. Oh well, yeah, there is something like the Buddhists. But the Buddhists, of course, many of them are not very strict. Jains probably tend to be more strict than that. So the idea of non-violence and stuff, it all comes from this idea of complete detachment, renunciation, and whatever. So they don't want to use their senses for anything.
Grantrasi Sujavan Pagadam Ki Jivanantan Haras Ki Jivanantan Yeah, they could.